KCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Jamaicans are bracing for what could be the worst hurricane ever to slam the island nation. Melissa, now a massive Category 5 with winds of up to 160 miles an hour. Avery Woolery at St. James Parish is getting set.
I already do my shopping, so now I'm just here to get some gas. And I was trying to see if I can get a generator.
The government's 27-day-old shutdown means no SNAP food benefits November 1st.
Sometime I may eat breakfast and lunch. Sometime I may eat lunch and dinner, you know. But with this, it even puts me deeper in the hole.
CBS's Nancy Cordes has an update on President Trump's travels.
The president just landed here in Tokyo a couple of hours ago, the second stop on his three-country swing through Asia. And the big news here in Asia is the apparent breakthrough over the weekend in U.S.-China trade talks.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Enrollment is growing at a majority of University of Wisconsin schools. Officials say 9 of the 13 universities saw enrollment growth this year despite a decline in international students amid uncertainty with student visas. It's the first time since 2010 that enrollment has increased 3 years in a row. In a statement released last week, Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman said a major factor in the overall enrollment growth was the new Direct Admit program, which automatically offers admission to most UW schools for qualified high school seniors in Wisconsin. Freshman enrollment from Wisconsin students also increased by a record 5.5%. The Central Wisconsin Airport in Mosinee is welcoming back United Airlines to the area. United Airlines will begin offering 3 daily flights to Chicago O'Hare next spring. The airline suspended operations out of Central Wisconsin Airport in January of 2022. At that time, Airport Director Brian Griefy told WSAW the suspension of flights was due to a worker shortage within the airline system. A proposed bill making its way through the Wisconsin State Legislature would give victims of sexual assault more time to pursue charges under the statute of limitations. If passed into law, the proposed legislation would double the statute of limitations for filing second-degree assault charges from 10 years to 20 years. It would also protect victims who report a sexual assault from being prosecuted for misdemeanor drug or alcohol charges and allow them to break their rental lease more easily if they provide their landlord with a criminal complaint or restraining order. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Packers sink the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers rallied in the second half to win 35-25. Matt LaFleur on what he saw from his team despite a slow start.
The greatest thing I saw from our guys was I didn't see any panic. They stayed together, and we cleaned up some things that we didn't do in the first half.
Tight end Tucker Kraft scored his second touchdown of the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we saw some things in the first half where, you know, we were just one block away from this. We looked ourselves in the mirror and we said that wasn't good enough. We came back out in the second half and we executed.
Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was asked about hearing the Go Pack Go chants during the game.
I've heard that chant for 18 years, so Packer fans travel really well. First time in a while I've used silent count for a home game. That's a credit to those Packer fans.
At Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin right here on WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Real news, great conversation.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, there may be a sprinkle or two. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll drop to the mid 30s for a low tomorrow. Scattered showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What is your favorite or least favorite word? Cinnamon. Love that word. And it's a superfood. I don't like the word buttress just because I'm immature. Con.
My favorite word is scoundrel. I would also say buttocks.
I said buttress and you said buttocks. John in Madison says words with silent letters bug me too. Pneumonia. Dumb. Funny because my name is John.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by the chief economist for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We talk about the shutdown status and what challenges Americans face with the removal of the ACA subsidies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back up north on a Monday morning, last week of October, October 27th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things in Madison Studio A2. Selena Heller standing by in Eau Claire. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is AWOL, says that she cheered too much in Pittsburgh and has no voice left. Apparently a voice is a feature that's required for radio. So we'll tell her to rest up and we'll hopefully visit with her again coming up on Friday morning. Selena still has a voice. Parker still has a voice. I'm sure they were both yelling and cheering with their TV during the second half of the game yesterday. You know, the one where the guy who gets up super early decided not to watch the second half. Because I was so demoralized by our kicker missing two field goals.
I
thought the stage was set for a not fun second half. So I'll be the first to admit I gave up too early.
Wow.
But Parker, you understand where I'm coming from, though.
I do. I fully understand where you're coming from. I just wonder, how did you feel when you woke up? Like, I'd be really upset if I missed that.
Well rested. Well, and B, again, this is not a case where, in olden days, I would have put on my slippers and shuffled out to the door and grabbed the morning newspaper, and uncurled it and cursed the paper boy because it's a little bit wet from hitting the dew on the grass. And then realizing the paper was printed too early and didn't even have the results of last night's game. So I hope the guy on the radio stayed up to watch it, to tell me about it. We're not in that age anymore. I can get up at 4. I can take a look at my phone. I can see all the highlights. You know, the first thing I notice is, oh, well, that would have been fun to watch live. But guess what? I have the clips right here. Watch the clips. It was fun. I still get to talk about it and sound bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Perfect. That works too.
At least as close as I get to it. So for the few of you out there that are going, Pat, get to the point, because I too went to bed early. The Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Jordan Love went 29 of 35, including a franchise record tying 20 straight completed passes at one point. The guy I think is the key to all of this, tight end Tucker Kraft, caught 7 passes for a career high 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. Christian Watson is back, 4 catches for 85 yards. Josh Jacobs, a 3-yard scoring sprint in the first play of the fourth quarter, put the Packers up for good. And so the Packers are 5-1-1. And the funny thing is, everybody looks at that tie like, oh, ick, we got a tie. It might as well be a loss. That tie is keeping us ahead of a lot of other teams right now.
It is.
I'll take that. So,
Aaron Rodgers needed to beat the Packers to beat every team in the NFL, and he did not. So he still has not.
Oh, that's still, right. Yeah.
Still has not. Robin Tigerton says the Steelers jerseys looked like highway warning signs.
The arrows, yes.
He says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear skies, light fog, 31 degrees. I had to ride yesterday or Saturday in the Clintonville area, took pictures of the remaining fall colors, mostly along Main Street in Clintonville, and he's got some leaves to mow up today. Speaking of temperatures, by the way, let's get those 7 o'clock temperatures. It's 39 here in Chippewa Falls, 39 in La Crosse. Rapids is at 37. There's some real differences in short distances on the map here. Fond du Lac is at 45. I'm sorry, Fond du Lac is at 32, but Oshkosh is 45. Eagle River is 27, but over in Manitouish Waters, it's 37 right now. Hayward's at 41 degrees as well. So in talking about the fall colors, I'm going to risk sounding like an old man complaining. And I don't mean that. I just mean we were noticing yesterday, we didn't really get, it wasn't our best fall color year here around here. Now, I don't know where the peak is right now, and maybe they are spectacular. I've seen a few nice areas with a lot of rust mixed in with the yellow, but we did a lot of green to yellow to brown really quick around here. Selena, did you notice that in Eau Claire as well?
No, right across the street. Every time we pull from the driveway, we have these bright red trees just right across the street. And those are so pretty. And at school, when we pull up to school, it's this yellow, really bright, really pretty tree. So we still see the, beautiful, actually, right across the street right now. Maybe if you want to swing over, you can check these out.
Maybe I'll have to do that. Let's see. Alicia says, my maple trees are always the last to shed their leaves. Always cutting the leaf pickup close. Oh yeah, because some places have the leaf pickup. Parker, I don't know what you have here. Do the buildings change color in the fall? Do you guys get trees? Do you get to see some things down there?
Yeah, they change the colors of the lights shining on the Overture Center. Yeah.
Okay. you've got two lovely lakes around there, and yes. it too can be a very beautiful place to spend some time. But you know, the fall colors just felt a little muted up here this time around.
Yeah.
Not bad. Again, not bad. Just, you know, I'm looking at the leaves or looking at the trees going, you didn't quite live up to your full potential.
It just felt fast. You know? Yeah.
Maybe it went fast. Yes, maybe so. All right. Well,
it goes so fast because then like they turn and then there's a big wind and then yes, they're gone.
And then they just go whoomph. Okay. Well, missed that show. All right. So Selena's got a story that you can follow over on the Up North News social media sites. Her stories are on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. And one of your stories recently is about the looming cuts that are out there to families in several different ways. We've talked about the $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts that are coming. Certainly nutrition assistance programs, SNAP funding is going to be running out here in the next, couple of weeks, it sounds like, potentially, okay, here in Wisconsin. And then, of course, the issue that's at the heart of all of this is the way that health insurance premiums are going to skyrocket for families because of enhanced tax credits that are expiring. And again, they are expiring. They were planned to expire, but there's a plan out there that would say, let's extend these, the same way that Republicans got to extend the corporate tax cuts under Donald Trump. So they got a little something. Maybe families could get a little something like continuing these enhanced tax credits to keep health insurance from getting so expensive. And Selena, you talk to people for whom, when these health insurance costs and other things start to add up, I mean, this isn't some political game. It's really going to hurt them.
Yeah, it's real families, and it's the reality for so many people across Wisconsin when these subsidies run out at the end of the year. And so this is a retired artist. She's from La Crosse, Kate Bausch, and she got emotional because this is her reality. This is for her and her husband. Her husband is a retired teacher of 38 years. And so they planned their retirements on using these subsidies just for a short time, but that's what they were relying on.
Let's give a listen to Selena's story with Kate Bausch.
The uncertainty, I can't tell you. Unbearable it's been to not know if we're gonna have healthcare next year. or what it's going to cost.
In La Crosse, Kate Bausch and her husband are retired, but 2 years shy of qualifying for Medicare. So using the Affordable Care Act marketplace for their health care is a must for them. It's not free.
We pay $476. I think some people think, like, if you're on the ACA, that it's free, and it's not. I mean, we still pay, and we're happy to pay.
Their monthly premium is set to skyrocket, though, as Republicans in D.C. appear willing to let the tax credits that make ACA coverage more affordable expire. Kate says the uncertainty of what will happen with these subsidies is enough to put anyone on edge.
We started checking around because if the credits were going to expire, we needed to be covered, and we like to be prepared. So we were quoted upwards of $2,400 a month through a retirement for the state retirement workers. And we can't afford $2,400 a month. If these credits expire, I'm not sure what we will do.
Unless Republicans join Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and her Democratic colleagues in supporting an extension, the tax credits will expire at the end of the year. And that means out-of-pocket premiums for ACA marketplace enrollees could go up 75%, according to the research group Kaiser Family Foundation.
This tax break, called the Enhanced Premium Tax Credit, saves more than 230,000 Wisconsinites an average of $500 every single month.
We both have to be on medicine. It's not just doctor visits and that kind of thing. I have asthma, my husband does too. Our inhalers are $500 a month. We're just not sure what we'll do.
Senator Baldwin says if tax credits for the wealthy and corporations can be included in the budget, there's certainly legroom for extending tax credits for conscientious families.
We're looking at, obviously, no Christmas presents that we'll be shopping for this year or next year, probably. We're hoping to take some trips just around the state. We live pretty simply. I'm really sorry. I didn't expect to cry, but it's real.
And I guess that's the point, Selena, we keep trying to make. This is real. This is what people were hoping would be extended because, again, in the 10-plus years that the Affordable Care Act has been around, it has worked compared to the old system, but has always needed to be modified and improved upon. And by not having these premium tax credits renewed, you're taking a step backward to those old days. And you and I both covered so many stories about people who paid their premiums and the health insurance company just denied them. So, I mean, right now the story is about premiums going up, but what it also means is people either go without insurance or insurance companies are just saying, nope, we're not going to cover you anymore.
Right. And then, they don't get insurance, and then there's more problems, and then they don't have the healthcare they need. And I was just in, so I'll have this coming up too. I was with a farmer in Pierce County, and he said, it'll be like, if I bleed, then I'll go to the doctor, but otherwise probably not if I don't have health insurance. So we were in his combine chatting at that time as he was combining soybeans. And as of course, there's so many issues for farmers right now, so we're going to hear from him coming up another time too. So talking
not only about health insurance, but also about the soybeans that he's harvesting right there with you, and whether there's going to be a market for them or place to store them or anything like that.
Right. He said, we're sitting here in my combine, we're combining this field, and I'm losing money. This is what I work for all year. Yeah. And I lost money. It's a hard time.
And then on top of that, for any that were, raising cattle as well and expecting, something to go to the American beef market, you now have Argentine beef that's coming in. There's just something all throughout rural Wisconsin for people to look at and say, this is harder than we were expecting to be at this point. And like you said, you're talking to somebody they're combining two or three of these issues all into one. These are not easy times.
Right. And he said, if we get a bailout, the bailout is just going to be, I just have to pay off my fertilizer, and it's for those companies. It doesn't do anything to help me. I'm so far behind. It really doesn't do anything.
No. It goes right to those companies where fertilizer costs have been jacked up again because of Trump's trade war with Canada. For all these stories that Selena Heller works on, check out our social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, search for Up North News WI and look for her stories there. Selena, thank you very much for the story. Happy Halloween week. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See you.
Okay. Again, look for Selena on social media there. And coming up later this week, another wrinkle in health insurance, and that's all the folks who have to choose new Medicare Advantage plans because there might have been changes along the way with their current plan. We will talk to Ingrid Cunninger, the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol Program Director, about that coming up Thursday. You're going to want to listen if you fit into that category of needing a new Medicare Advantage plan. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your Monday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back and enjoy an extra hour of rest. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning once again, everyone. The time is 7:23. Sun is starting to show itself. It's a little overcast, a little fog, a little mist out there. Temperature stands at 34 degrees here in downtown Wausau. We are live from our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. It is Monday morning, October the 27th of 2025. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. And as I was preparing this morning to see what we're going to be talking about, mentioned earlier that we are heading down the stretch of the year 2025, just over 2 months to go before we get to 2026. And in fact, today Wausau Events has released its 2026 schedule. We talk often about the number of terrific activities that we have here in north central Wisconsin in the Wausau area. And one piece of the puzzle is Wausau Events. And there's so many terrific events that they're part of. And their entire 2026 schedule of events has been released. You can get information at the Wausau Events website. But looking at some of these events, starts off January the 26th of 2026. It will be Winter Brew Fest at the Rothschild Pavilion. Then the following day, on January the 24th, Winterfest will be held at Marathon Park. Of course, when you get back to the summer, we just basically finished up not too long ago the Concerts on the Square series. They are every Wednesday at the 400 block, starting on Wednesday, June the 3rd of next year, going through August the 12th, and then an additional final show on August the 26th. Wings Over Wausau, of course, many folks are always looking forward to Wings Over Wausau at the Wausau Airport in 2026. That will be on June the 26th and the 27th. Clear for Takeoff 5K, which, of course, is part of that big event at the Wausau Airport, will be on June the 27th. Chalk Fest, something that Ian, I know you're always part of here in downtown Wausau.
And my sister tries to do a drive for Chalk Fest almost every year.
Well, you can mark the calendar for next year. Chalk Fest will be on June the 27th and the 28th. The 4th of July fireworks will be on the 4th of July at the Wausau Airport. Big Bull Falls Blues Fest, nice. Fern Island Park on August 21st and 22nd. Harvest Fest will be on October the 3rd of 2026 in the 400 block. Booze and Booze, B-O-O-S and B-O-O-Z-E, will be October 23rd at the Rothschild Pavilion. So that's almost a year from this very date. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Holiday Parade, which we'll be looking forward to coming up in December here this year.
That's right.
We have scheduled it for 2026 already. It will be December the 4th of 2026, starting at Marathon Park and going to the 400 block here in downtown Wausau. So, again, we talk about this a lot. We talk a lot about the theatrical mm-hmm. productions. We bring in folks talking about that during the course of the year. But when you look at what Wausau Events is part of, and, again, that's just a piece of the puzzle that is the terrific events that go on here in the Wausau area. But it really is amazing for a community of our size, the amount of events that we do have. We have, of course, the Grand Theater here in downtown Wausau, but we have so much that is happening that makes life interesting, that makes opportunity for us not to have to go to Green Bay or Minneapolis or Madison or Milwaukee or Chicago to be part of some terrific events, whether performance events, whether just events outdoors, events that involve the family. So much that goes on here in this area. We are very, very fortunate. And it looks like 2026, just with that listing, and that's just, again, the tip of the iceberg,
yep.
Looks like there will be a lot of great activities going on here in the Wausau area.
Absolutely.
Is there a favorite of yours? Is there anything that, whether on that list or whether just an event that you always look forward to here in central Wisconsin?
Well, Chalk Fest is one of them, but one of the events that my family and I like to go to every summer are the Concerts on the Square.
Yeah.
If the weather is beautiful, there's so many people out there and a lot of great food venues as well. And just a lot of it. Incredible music as well. I mean, every week you go there in the summertime, it's always a different type of music. And sometimes it's a lot of the classic songs that my parents know, and it brings back a lot of nostalgia for them. And it's a really awesome event that brings people together and just, gives us a taste of all the great music and food that we have here in the Wausau area. Just
the talent. The talent, you said it. I mean, to have that weekly event every Wednesday night at the 400 block, it shows, again, the level of talent. The performers that come in that mainly are from the area, they are able to come here and get big crowds and have a lot of fun. You've said as well, just the whole mixture of the event, the entertainment, the music, the food, and everything else, and just being together with
people from our area. You get a chance to see probably a lot of the same folks almost every Wednesday night. And again, that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what is going on here in the Wausau area.
Free. It's paid for the food, though. Yeah. The music is free.
No, that's, you know, that again, it's just you the idea, and so often, there's nothing to do. Well, there's always something to do here in the Wausau area. That again,
do your research.
There you go. So again, there's so much that happens and so much that is, again, within the finances of everybody here in our community.
Oh, yeah.
The time is 7:29. Again, it looks like it's going to be a terrific day weather-wise. We're expecting plenty of sunshine as we get into the day. Temperature will get up to about 57 degrees. And it looks like, again, a lot of sunshine and moderate temperatures for this time of year. Temperatures in the mid-50s pretty much throughout the course of the week. We'll keep you up to speed. We'll have a look at the weather coming up. Also, part of our information update, we'll have the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Yonke will have that and other pieces of our information update, followed by more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up here on 98.9 WXCO.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WXCO in the app and the news comes to you.
USDA's Farm Service Agency offices are open with limited capacity. Don't forget, that means dairy producers and beef producers. You can protect the value of that beef entity on your farm. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Katie Burgess, dairy analyst with EverAg, explains some of the reasons why you want to look at that next.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
A new dairy beef insurance tool is something that a lot of producers should be taking a look at now. Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, explains the benefits.
Right now, the profit is coming from the calf values because the milk prices are only lackluster. And it was kind of perfect timing that USDA launched this product right at the same time that calf values are hitting new record high levels. And so we have been encouraging dairy producers to go out and learn more to see if it would be a good fit for their farm. Because while the milk prices you can protect for next year are only so-so, you can go out and protect nearly record high calf prices out till next summer.
Katie Burgess, a dairy analyst with EverAg, giving some advice on how to protect one component of the financial pie on Wisconsin dairy operations. And again, remember, the U.S. Department of Agriculture Farm Service Agency offices, open with limited capacity, can take your application. Markets are next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
On Friday, barrel cheese gained a penny and a half to 177. 40-pound block cheese was up a nickel and a quarter at 177 and three quarters. The AA butter, 4 cents higher at 160 and a quarter. November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning up 13 cents, 17.98. December corn up a nickel at 428. March is up 6 cents, 443. November soybeans are up 16 cents at 10.57. January up 15 cents at 10.75. The July wheat currently 9 cents stronger, 5.59 a bushel. Not a bad start to a Monday. There's your market update. I'm Pam Yonke.
No bull, just real news and great conversation. WXCO is your home for real news and great conversation in Wausau.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the mid to upper 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, there may be a sprinkle or two. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll drop to the mid-30s for a low. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, are energy prices down? What about Drill Baby Drill? Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, will join us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
The Progressive Group, A Better Wisconsin Together, is all about research and stories from real people and empowerment. And their latest research includes the glaring omissions in the attendance record of one member of the Wisconsin State Assembly. We recently talked to Communications Director Lucy Ripp about that. First, we spent some time talking about the first wave of candidates for 2026. Now, whether it's public polling or election results, it is clear that most people in Wisconsin believe that women should have the right to make their own decisions about their bodies, and politicians should stop trying to put themselves into exam rooms alongside women and their doctors. And yet, there are plenty of conservatives who are already running with a clear record that is out of the mainstream of Wisconsin values on that subject, whether it's for state attorney general, state Supreme Court, or for governor. And we cover all three races when I talk to Lucy Ripp first about gubernatorial candidate and GOP Congressman Tom Tiffany.
Yeah, it very much seemed that he knows that the way he has voted on abortion in the past and endorsements he's gotten and things like that go directly against what the majority of Wisconsinites believe, which is that we want safe and legal abortion access across the state. We don't believe that politicians should be anywhere near that decision. And he has a really long record of going against that. And so it was very clear that he wanted to hide that.
Yeah. And so when he was kind of conveniently removed that information from a personal website, that got noticed by the media and by you mm-hmm. folks as well. Then there's the recent announcement here that Eric Toney is getting into the race for attorney general. He lost to Josh Call last time around, and he has announced another run. And it appears that his positions really haven't changed that much since the last time he ran.
No, it doesn't appear that they have. And the last time he ran, as we've said on our website, Wisconsinites overwhelmingly rejected him. I mean, he is another one of those Republicans who just has very extreme views on abortion that don't align with how Wisconsinites feel. I mean, in previous elections, he's gotten endorsements from some of the most radical anti-abortion groups in Wisconsin. He indicated last time around that he ran that he would try to impose an almost total abortion ban, and an abortion ban that also threatens doctors and nurses with criminal penalties for providing that care. And so he's so extreme about putting politicians like himself in charge of these decisions that he's also advocated for being able to exceed his authority as a local district attorney and cross county lines to impose his beliefs on people who didn't even elect him.
Interestingly, he also in his announcement focused on some of the usual boogeymen. There was, of course, undocumented immigrants. There was, problems in Milwaukee. It's always convenient to, blame Milwaukee there. And the thing that we've been watching here up north is that here he is, the named special prosecutor in the case of Wausau Mayor Doug Denny, removing an absentee ballot drop box, which seemed rather curious given that this is a guy, Eric Toney, who himself has said he believed absentee ballot drop boxes should be illegal and he wanted the state Supreme Court to outlaw them. So I guess we already know where he stands on voting convenience if he's going to run for attorney general again.
Yeah, it's very clear he's not only trying to, you know, police what happens in our exam rooms, but he's also trying to take away ways of voting for the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah, you're also following the appeals court judge Maria Lazar, who is hoping to run for state Supreme Court next year, would quite likely face fellow appeals court judge and former legislator Chris Taylor. But Maria Lazar, again, as we've said, based on her past endorsements and some of her statements, it's also quite clear where she stands on women's reproductive health care rights.
She was caught saying on camera that she thinks the Supreme Court's decision that overturned Roe v. Wade was, quote, very wise. And she also indicated that when the Wisconsin Supreme Court earlier this year struck down an 1800s law that Republicans were trying to use as an abortion ban, she said she doesn't know that she would have agreed with them on that. So she's making it very clear early on that she is anti-abortion rights in Wisconsin.
You know, we've been talking a lot about whether Republicans in Madison or Washington, D.C. Want to show up for work, not whether they have shown up for work, whether they want to. And it's been tough enough for them just given the current conditions. But it seems to have been even more of a problem for one particular Wisconsin legislator. And you happen to notice at A Better Wisconsin Together, a lot of absences from State Representative Shannon Zimmerman from over in the River Falls, Western Wisconsin area. As you were looking at the record, what is it that you felt like his constituents need to know?
Yeah, so with Representative Shannon Zimmerman, as you said, he represents Assembly District 30, which includes areas like River Falls and Hudson and more. And we noticed that on a lot of the floor session days this year, he was just completely absent. He wasn't there. And so we counted it up and we noticed that he has been absent from nearly half of all of the assembly's floor sessions this year. I think that includes March 18th, March 20th, June 18th, September 11th. And so I think what the people in his district need to know is that they elected him to do a job, right? And that job is to represent them in our state legislature and make sure that their voices are heard on the issues that are going to impact their lives, on the issues that matter to them. And right now, it seems like he's not doing that.
Well, certainly not giving it his full attention. And let's be clear, because a lot of people, you know, don't know the employment status of legislators. They are paid a full-time salary, which is not, you know, Wisconsin's now in the minority of states that pay a full-time salary and expect that you are working throughout the course of the year as a state legislator. They may have other jobs, but it's pretty clear when you run for office that this is supposed to be a full-time gig, right?
Right. Yes. And, you know, probably, Pat, that sometimes you just can't be there 7 days a week. You miss a day or two here or there for a family emergency, childcare, sick day, whatever it may be. But I think what's concerning here is just the rate at which he isn't showing up.
Well, because he also has other, you know, alternatives. I mean, there has been discussion before about, you know, he's got a Florida vacation rental business that might be keeping him busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, even I believe this was back in 2017, he didn't even show up to vote on the state budget, which is one of the most important pieces of legislation that gets passed in Wisconsin. And when you look at why wasn't he there, it's because he was in an Amsterdam airport. So, you know, the biggest thing the legislature does, and he wasn't there to vote on it because he was in Europe.
And again, that is, like you said, that's something that can happen here and there. It happens to people. It's just that there have been so many of these that, you know, for somebody who for, you know, his first few years in office, it was questionable whether he even lived in the district or just outside of the district. It brings some extra attention to a district and constituents who want to know that you know, he's there for them or that he isn't. And there were some pretty key votes that he missed on those dates in March and June and September that y'all looked up. What are some of the things that he missed votes on? Some bills that really address the needs that face Wisconsinites?
Yeah, so notably on some of the days that he didn't bother to show up, he avoided voting on a lot of different bills. I think we tallied it up and it was around 85, but some of them that he avoided voting on by not showing up were bills that would have given wage increases to UW system employees. And he has at least one UW system school in his district. He avoided voting on a bill that would have helped build a mental health facility in the Chippewa Valley. And so he also left them without a voice on that one either.
So A Better Wisconsin Together is watching all of these things. You can check out their website and the whole team over there, including Lucy Ripp, following all kinds of issues and candidates. Lucy, we really appreciate the perspective you bring to this, and thanks for joining us for a few minutes today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Pat.
Yeah, again, A Better Wisconsin Together, they do research by and large. That's where they got their start. Fair disclosure, I served for a brief time on the board of directors many years ago from A Better Wisconsin Together when they engaged in, you know, all kinds of research about what certain bills would do, or in this case, who did or didn't vote on bills, or the things that they've said, sometimes the things they've said when, you know, they think nobody is listening. But they've also kind of expanded now into capturing the stories of folks around Wisconsin and the way that, you know, they're impacted by the things that politicians do, especially politicians who may not be acting in line with, you know, mainstream Wisconsin values. So over at abetterwisconsin.org, you can scroll down a bit and get to their storytellers and video archive. And you might even see some familiar faces, or you might hear some stories that you feel are worth sharing in your own social media feeds. Some of the posts that you may see over at the A Better Wisconsin Together website. It's just about 7:46 right now, and I wanted to read a post from somebody about some of these cuts that are happening to SNAP benefits and others. And this particular post was written by somebody named Stacy Patton, a journalist and writer, a college professor, teaches journalism at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and has been doing a lot more writing on social media lately, because she's been one of those folks who were targeted by the far right for the way that she reacted to the murder of conservative provocateur Charlie Kirk. And again, you don't have to like what people say about things, and you can criticize what they say about things, but those things have, shall we say, crossed a line in many cases where people have, you know, lost their jobs, or they have faced threats. And frankly, Stacy Patton is one of those who has been getting weeks of abuse, primarily by a bunch of white guys filling her email inbox with racial slurs and things like that. And Howard University has offered her, you know, extra security as well, but she's not really having any of it. She's you know, basically punching back. And one of her posts caught my eye over the weekend about the looming cuts to SNAP benefits. And so I just wanted to read part of that from, again, from Stacy Patton and Howard University, where she writes the following. I'm sick of seeing comments saying that people on SNAP should, quote, just get a job. The reports I see show that over half of working age, non-disabled adults on SNAP were working in a given month, and about 74% worked in the year before or after that month. And a good number of them are college students juggling classes and rent and part-time jobs while trying to keep food on the table. This country doesn't have a laziness problem. It has a wage problem, a greed problem, a you shouldn't have to starve to prove your worth problem. People who make the get a job comment are insecure. They need to believe poverty is a moral failure, because the alternative is that they'd have to reckon with the fact that this particular system of the economy is rigged and that their comfort is built on exploitation. That terrifies them, so they invent a hierarchy where they're the hardworking and everyone else is lazy, even if the data proves them wrong. They're not really defending the work ethic. They're defending a fantasy where their own mediocrity still feels well-earned. And many of these hateful folks crying, get a job, are themselves often just one layoff, one illness, one bad month away from the same line at the social services office. And I've seen plenty of that myself as well. We will be talking to somebody who started their own small business after a journey from Mexico to Wisconsin in our next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant, but environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip.
WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:53. We see the sun starting to make an appearance here on this Monday morning, October the 27th of 2025. The sun is starting to shine. Temperature still in the mid-30s, but it looks to be a very, very nice day on tap. 57 under sunny skies when all is said and done. I am a subscriber to a newsletter named Status. It covers politics and the media and intersection of the two. Okay. And I came across a very, I think, interesting story that was posted on Status in their newsletter late last night. And CNN has their chief, the guy that runs CNN, is a man named Mark Thompson. And last week, he went to the White House. He paid a visit to Donald Trump on Wednesday. And apparently the meeting was supposedly supposed to be about introducing Trump and the administration to CNN's new direct-to-consumer streaming product launching next week, basically trying to lay the groundwork for officials to appear on CNN. But it turned out to be, I think, maybe a little bit more. As after the meeting, and we don't know exactly what was talked about between Trump and Mark Thompson, the head of CNN, but last week, one of the big stories was the destruction of the East Wing of the White House. A lot of people are very upset that Donald Trump has taken it upon himself with the help of millions of dollars from some of the same media corporations that are covering Trump and other wealthy individuals to basically decide that they were the ones that can do anything they want to a major portion of the White House without any congressional oversight, without any coming to the people of this country as well. But Mark Thompson, after having this meeting with Donald Trump, the very next morning, during an editorial meeting that CNN and media groups, news groups always have, Thompson suggested during the daily editorial call that it should ease up on covering Trump's East Wing demolition, claiming that their viewership isn't all that interested in the story, according to two people familiar with the matter. The comment struck many as bizarre, coming from Thompson, who, despite carrying the editor-in-chief title, generally tends not to weigh too much into the minutiae of the network's editorial process. The bottom line here is the American people cannot expect the media, the wealthy, the powerful to save us in this crisis of democracy. Mm-hmm. You have CNN's chief visiting Donald Trump and then coming back to his newsroom and saying, hey, the story that is really on fire this week, the story that is getting the attention of Americans from coast to coast, shouldn't we talk about that? They don't really care that a major part of the White House has been destroyed by Donald Trump. And that also that certain members of the wealthy, the powerful, the media are funding the bill for this destruction and building of a gaudy, gold-plated ballroom at the White House. I mean, you have major companies, media companies, including Comcast, who is the owner of NBC. You have YouTube, which is one of the top powerful entities when it comes to media these days.
Oh, yeah.
Apple, Amazon. Mm-hmm. They've all written checks again, buying access, trying to buy protection. It is a mob racket that Donald Trump and his administration is running. And then Mark Thompson of CNN goes to the White House, has a meeting, whatever is said, and then leaves, and the very next day goes on to an editorial call. Again, this is the editorial. This is about the news that the people of this country and the world will be hearing from CNN, and he tells the journalist, don't talk about this as much. People don't care about the destruction of the White House. If that isn't an example of not believing that these folks are going to protect democracy, I don't know what would. Again, the people of this country are the ones who are going to save it, because yeah. CNN isn't going to do it. NBC, Comcast isn't going to do it. Amazon isn't going to do it. Apple isn't going to do it. They're all on their knees kissing the rear end of Donald J. Trump.
Yeah. based on what you have talked about, it sounds like he doesn't have a lot of faith in people.
I don't know. CNN and other media corporations are supposed to give the information, cover these stories, and let people know about the corruption that is going on within this administration. In fact, coming up in our next WXEO Morning Report, last week there were not one, not two, not three, but four scandals, and I don't use that term lightly, scandals within the Trump administration that in the past would have put people's hair on fire, but now people just, they just let it go by.
Shake it
because
off.
Because apparently the next scandal is just coming around the corner. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of these stories that we should be talking about, that you can't just assume that, well, if we just ignore it, it's going to stop. We need to talk about this and put the pressure on for these scandals to stop. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's going to happen. So we're going to talk about that. We will have our number for the day quiz as well coming up as well. The time is 7:59. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up here on 98.9 WXCO. Yes, I'm the way.
I want to be- You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO, 1230 AM, W255 DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa has powered up to a monstrous Category 5 as it gets closer to Jamaica. CBS's Jason Allen is in the capital of Kingston.
The fear of forecasters is that once it gets here to the island, that we're going to experience major hurricane conditions for up to 24 hours, potentially making this the most powerful storm in this island's history.
Day 27 of the government shutdown, and officials say SNAP food benefits will not go out November 1st. Shannon Razadin is with the Military Family Advisory Network.
We are really counting on our partners. We're counting on citizens to really join us so that we can meet this moment.
President Trump spoke ahead of a stop in Japan on Vladimir Putin's announcement. Russia successfully tested a nuclear-powered missile capable of flying for 15 hours.
They know we have a nuclear submarine, the greatest in the world, right off their shores. So, I mean, doesn't have to go 8,000 miles.
CBS News Brief. I'm